Today is November 19th, and we are taping the second of a series of two shiurim on agadic passages with halachic ramifications. That means we're reading stories in Sefer Bereshit, especially around this time of area of Sefer Bereshit, that have halachic ramifications to them, where we derive the halacha straight from the story. Now, here is the caveat. There's lots of things. I could comb the shas and give you a 30-part shiur on this topic. But the caveat is that this is where these examples come from Medrash Rabbah, largely from Medrash Rabbah as opposed from a Talmudic discussion. I'm going to take two from this week's parasha, and then we'll see how we can branch off from that. Okay? One is has to do with the fact that there's a lot of blessing going around on in this parsha. Baruch Hashem. The word bracha appears very often in this parsha, certainly more than in any other parsha in all of Bereishis, and I would dare say, just look at the Shoresh, probably more than any other parsha in the whole Torah. Okay, but I know more than any other parsha in Sefer Bereishis. But so here is a fascinating halacha that says that when Yitzchak wanted to bless Esav, he didn't just call him into the room and say, "Esav, sit down, I have some bracha for you," like Yaakov did with Menashe and Ephraim, remember? Right? Like Avram did with Yitzchak. Instead, Yitzchak said, "I want food before I bless you." Now, I must tell you that there is a very critical perush in what's called Medrash HaGadol that says Yitzchak had all of the trappings of a mefunak, which means a spoiled child.
Because he was only child of
very elderly parents. They waited a long time to have him. I wouldn't say this on my own, by the way, but it's a Medrash. And it says that that's why he could be bought literally with the venison.
He could have been.
He preferred him. Why does he? By Avi Tzok is his son. Kitz Kitz Zayid Befiv.
A veil could have been put
over his head. Right. So the Das Kanim says that he was blinded. He was bribed to love Esav by the venison that he put in his mouth. Yeah. Right, and that's not a reason to love your son. Now he puts food on the table. Now, in fairness to Yitzchak, Yitzchak wants to makariv all of his children. He sees that Yaakov is Yoshev Olim. He knows what Yaakov is. He knows Yaakov is Avraham's inheritor in terms of spirituality. But I don't want to lose Esav. Mm-hmm. Remember, Esav is Ish Sodeh, right? Vayigdulu Narim, but he Esav Ish Tzayid Ish Sodeh. He's a man of the field. Yitzchak also was. Now Chazal tell us in the Gemara Brachas that he went there to daven, right? Ibn Ezra says he went there to communicate. Lasuach basodeh. It was an open place where it's good to meditate. Fine. Rashbam says he went there to plant plants. He was a farmer. Lasuach basodeh. Siach hasodeh. Right? It has nothing to do with sicha. It has to do with the planting. So Yitzchak appreciated what Esav was doing. He was a man of the field also. Right? I must tell you, though, that there's a whole different approach. This is the approach now of Rashi, generally Chazal, that the reason why Yitzchak favored Esav was not because he was blinded or bribed or he was spoiled. Okay, that's from a little Ramban. But that he was... The reason why he favored Esav is because he kitzayid befiv. Esav was a con man. That's a different perush. Rashi gives both perushim, by the way. Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav ki tzayid befiv. Yitzchak loved Esav, not because he put hunted meat in his mouth. No. Ki tzayid befiv. Not the mouth of Yitzchak, the mouth of Esav.
Do you mean he was fooled by him?
He was fooled by Esav.
He talked the talk.
He would ask him deep questions. Okay, so he made himself to be spiritually attuned. So that later, when Yitzchak heard Ki Yikra Hashem Elokecha Lefanai, it was that. Okay, that's one thing. But when that, together with Kumna Shavah, which is courtesy and and spirituality, that's too much. That's not it. That's not Esav, right? He knew that, that's because Rashi says there were two things that tipped off Yitzchak that he wasn't in the presence of Esav, but in the presence of Yaakov. Two things, because he said, God hasten my steps, and he said, please.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Right? So the two of them, he had manners, because it's very easy to have manners and not to be spiritually attuned. The key to be a true descendant of Yaakov is to have both. To be spiritually attuned, but not to step on anyone's feet while you're running to Minyan or running to the next year. Right? The guy that you're pushing away also has somebody, but his place, he's going to something that's not important as where I'm going. Mm. How do you know? And you're making a Chilul Hashem along the way. Right? The people rushing down to get ahead to get to the Kotel because I have a Minyan, I have to get to Mincha, I'm running out of time. There are people in front of you. Right? Now, it could be that those people are foreigners who have all the time in the world and they're taking their time and they're going to spend an hour at the Kotel. I just have to get 10 minutes and I don't want to miss Mincha. I have to make a Mishmera. Right? The tourists from Singapore, Right? But we have to be courteous as well as spiritual. Okay, let me get back to this point. Is that when, in Tanakh, when we see that someone wants to bestow upon another person beneficence or blessing, they ask for something first. Eliyahu tells that the almana who's about to give him food, right? And she says, I'm just collecting a few twigs to make I have a little bit of kemach to make a roll and I'm going to eat it and die. That's how she says it. I'm going to eat it with my son and we're going to die afterwards. She's exaggerating. It means every day we live from hand to mouth and I'm just going to eat a little bit and if I don't get more, I'm just going to die. So Eliyahu says, okay, make that little bit, but you have to make me a little roll first. Make for me first. In the face, a lot of Hasidic stories about the Baal Shem Tov like this, right? Make it first for me, and you will extend the Shefa. Afterwards, he said that the just bread and oil and wine just appeared on the cupboards in her house, and it never stopped.
Right.
Because she first gave to him.
Oil.
Like when the person wanted to go to Shaul to ask for the donkeys. Remember what the guy said, we can't go there, we don't have any money to give him. Now, if Shmuel would demand the money to give advice, he's worthless. If Shmuel accepts the money, that's acceptable because it shows I want to have reciprocity. So I'm giving and I'm about to receive. So because when you have responsibility towards that reciprocity, you're also in control. You're not just on the receiving end of everything. That was Bnei Israel's problem in the desert. They couldn't have fathomed themselves actually deserving the rain, the mun, and the bread, and the protection, right? So I want you to be a giver also, and then be a small giver, and then a profound receiver, right? So that's where this idea comes from. That if a prophet demands that first. Someone's about to give a bracha to someone who's very sick and says, put a check for $5,000. That guy's a charlatan. He's a Navi Sheker. Right? But if he gives the bracha b'shefa and he treats the person exactly the same, whether they give them something or not. I'll confess, people often call me, Rabbi, what do you get for an unveiling? I say, any rabbi who charges for these things is not a rabbi. Okay?
Swan house.
All right? No, whatever it is. Now, that being said, if they want to show their appreciation, and I have to give my miser also, if they want to appreciate it and use me as a kli for where this, and all, but however it is, then to say that it is a charge for chas v'shalom, the Rambam was very, very strict about those things.
You have Medicaid? Right.
Okay, So let's get back to what's going on here. That's why Yitzchak wants Esav to be a giver first. Give me something, go out into the field, give me for what you usually produce, and I'll reciprocate. So that we can have, this is what, when you go to see a Rebbe today, you always leave something on the table. I was once by the Bella Rebbe, he has a huge table.
On the Thursday,
from this door to the end of the last classroom. A table that big. Forget about the Bella Rebbe in Israel, in Yerushalayim.
People put what, money or what?
They put money, wine bottles, food. And it's, I must tell you, Every inch of the table is covered. Mostly Benjamins, packs of stacks of tens and twenties, $100 bill. American $100 bill.
It's American money.
Right? Stacks of Israeli bills. What's on that table on every Thursday night, I'm told, is a small fortune, enough to make a few weddings. And it's distributed by Friday morning.
To poor people?
It's all given to poor people. He doesn't use any of it himself. Gives it all out. There's wine, there's challahs, there's kugels, there's big trays of kugels, big cakes, and all over bills, all over dollars.
Wow.
Right? So then they're walking out of there with a bracha. Right? Now, here's the halacha. The fascinating thing is that this is not found in any Gemara, not Bavli, not Yerushalmi, that if a Kohen suffered a loss of a parent within the year, he may not duchen that year.
Oh, he can't.
Why not? Because he's too sad. He cannot. Now, it would appear from this, we have to be careful. What happens if a Kohen is about to duchen, it's on Yontif, and it's the night time, a Kohen who's single, and he's getting ready to duchen the next morning. And Nebuch, someone he's been dating for 6 months, breaks up with him the night. On Yontif, he had to break up with me! Right?
Can he duchen?
Can he duchen the next morning?
No.
So that's... There's no halacha on this.
Shulchan Aruch.
He's got to be just as sad.
Yeah.
But his
mind,
his state of mind is going to be off.
So during the during the shloshim, for everybody else, he may not duchen.
But your child is this not as like...
No doubt someone is going to be emotionally burdened by the loss of a child than by the loss of the parent, which is only natural. However, the loss of the parent has a different din. The avelus for a parent is a full year. The avelus for everyone else is a month. Why? Because the avelus for everybody is a month. The parent's mourning period is extended as a din in kibud avaim. So, as kibud avaim, now the mourner, there's someone who lost a... Make some breakfast. The one who lost a parent 6 months later, someone who loses a 97-year-old parent 6 months later, he's doing okay. He may be doing okay at the funeral itself because, you know what, they lived a good life. This is a celebration of a good long life, right? And he's ready to duchen a week later. Right? But 6 months after losing a child, 6 years, 16 years after losing a child, they're still not, may not be whole. So that's how the din is represented. Not by your own personal loss, because then your stock goes down and you lose half your fortune. I can't duchen. Right? What's the threshold?
Stock market crash.
What's the threshold? He's about to duchen. In Israel, you know, they duchen every day.
Yeah.
So the Kohen is about to rushing into duchen, and he sees that his car is getting towed. How can I duchen? I'm so upset. Where am I going to get to work today? And I have to go back and da 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 da. Ain l'davar sof.
Yeah.
Right? There's no end. What to decide, right? And everyone can be all subjective.
Yeah.
Right? It's subjective. I'm not feeling so. I'm feeling depressed today, and I didn't take my pills today, so I'm not going to duchen today. Right? I don't mean to make light of this. No, chas v'shalom.
That's what he's doing.
Guys, please. So that it can't be subjective, right? So there's one objective criteria. If the person is in the middle of mourning, then halachic mourning means for the year for the parent, or the month for the shloshim of all the others, no duchening. Where do we learn that from? We learn it from Bereishis Rabbah that says that the reason why Yitzchak wanted the venison in order to bless Esav was not because of this reciprocity I just mentioned. That's a nice Hasidic word, it's based on Pesukim and Tanakh, and a moral philosophy about giving and receiving that makes sense to everybody here, right?
But what is his reason? Right?
The reason found in Medrash Rabbah is because he loved venison.
The deep.
And he wanted to be in a good mood in order to be a shefa for a bracha. You will be a better vessel to give, to dole out a blessing
when
you're feeling good at the time. That's true about everyone.
And kids taste like venison.
So if if you put enough curry in it, I guess. I don't know.
No, no, but that's you what it yeah, says okay. in the Homish.
Okay. Oh yeah. He didn't taste it. Said, what is this? I asked for medicine. He's like, what are you doing? This tastes like goat meat. Right?
No. But
she didn't have venison in the backyard, but she did have shnei gedoyei
yezim.
Right. Okay. So. All right. So that's where this halacha comes from. It's totally agadic.
So what about this girlfriend that he lost?
I'm sorry, you have to duchen.
It's a duchen anyway.
But for how long? He's got to be unbelievably upset.
And understood.
Depends who she was.
Understood.
It doesn't matter.
There is an objective. I know, because if we leave it to subjectivity, the halacha says we're in trouble. Because
everybody's
subjective. Everybody's different.
This Cohen's going to say, "I ate daven shacharis. I went to make kiddush on Shabbos, and I'm wearing a brand new expensive suit, and a bit of cholent fell down the side of the suit, and I'm very upset about this. I've seen people get very upset about food falling on their clothes. That's you. That's you talking. And he's going to say, no, he's wrong in telling me what I should get upset about.
But it's funny that that's the reason given. You know, it makes sense to have those parameters, but since that's the reason...
So once you give the reason that he wanted to be in a good mood, then you go back to the things we said before about his, you know, he was bored, whatever, I didn't want to say it. But we wanted to be in a good mood, so he was put in a good mood. Now I feel great. Like, you know, when you're really, really starved and you order out, Chinese or something, you order out, and then the doorbell rings and he's coming in. You know, the food's coming at the door.
Okay, but it doesn't seem like Yaakov asked for his children to bring him anything before
he blessed
them.
No, because
was that because Yaakov predictions?
Yaakov lived a tough life and Yaakov didn't have that, Yitzchak is very different than Avraham and Yaakov, who share a lot of common difficulties and stresses and strains.
The Makeda, in a sense, made struggling. Him very fragile.
Right.
He's not allowed to leave. He's
can't
really
leave.
Can't go find his own
doesn't
wife.
Doesn't marry a second wife like everyone else to deal with their infertility. He runs away from the wells. I'm saying this in deference to him. He is such a tumim, such a tzmimadik a person that he will only take what comes to him from Hashem, and I'm not going to fight for anything else. All right, so that's the first thing, the halacha of not duchening the year of Avelis. Okay.
So it comes from what is that?
From the story of why Yitzchak asked for the venison before blessing. That's what's found in Medrash Rabbah. It's not found in the Gemara. So another thing that's not found in the Gemara is an interesting thing. It says that the boys grew up by Yigdilu Hanirim, and then after growing up. One son went this way, one son went that way, right? So Rivka saw in her past where Esav was going. Yitzchak saw in his past where Yaakov was going.
Right.
And they crossed over. They see Yitzchak says, we can't have Avram Yitzchak and Yitzchak. He's just me. He's me all over. He's totally me.
If I can't take care of myself, how can I take care of him? So he better be able to take care of himself.
What I wouldn't want to do is hone the spirituality skills into Esav. Now I'd like you to open up the text.
You'll be better when you come to a fork in a road.
Take it. Yes.
By the way, that's fooled into believing that Esav had that ability.
Well, maybe he would have had the ability had Rivka not pushed him away with the blessing. Who knows?
It's hard to imagine, though, because he was already married and he had the influence of his wife.
Yes. I don't want to second-guess Rivka.
He's not like a child.
Rivka is correct just the way Sarah is correct.
Only
in banishing Yishmael. Who knows how different the world would be if Yishmael was raised by Avraham instead of in Egypt with his mother? Maybe Yishmael raised by Avraham in the house of Avraham could be different. Maybe Esav raised at home. But wait a second.
But
I have a few things. Yes, I have a few things. Yeah. He already besmirched the family name by marrying the local Hittites.
Yes,
right?
Not only
but another thing.
He went in the field and he took other people's wives.
Okay, no, but now you're mixing Medrash with what's in the text. Okay. Let's stick with what's in the text, okay? I'll accept that in the long run. Okay. But in this presentation,
like
I want to stay as much to the Pshat as possible.
Spirituality into him as an adult. He already went off with other women. Like yeah. It's over. He's
yes,
not in
yes.
their house.
Yes, and when he sees that it's displeasing to his father, I'm not sure why he didn't get that earlier, or why the Yitzchak didn't convey that earlier to him. Then he marries Al Noshov. Rashi says the last Rashi in the parsha says, "Yeah, but
keep taking more."
How does that give your father nachas? Okay, so I married right. He sent Yaakov to marry mommy's brother's daughter.
Right.
I'll marry daddy's brother's daughter. Got it?
Uh-huh.
You see, you hear it? Yishmael's daughter is daddy's brother's daughter.
It's the right one, he thinks.
All right, but that's fine. But you still stayed with your Hittite women. Fine, that's fine. So you're like the pig who shows off his heel, right? As you said before.
What?
A pig shows off his
cloven
pig is always shoving off the cloven feet. See, I'm kosher. But on the inside, he's not kosher.
He's not kosher.
All right, so what I want to look for is Bereishis Perek Chof Zion. Okay. I have to leave here in about 8 minutes. Okay. So we want to look at chapter 27. I want to look first at verse 19, Perek Chof Zayin Pasuk Yutes. Chof Zayin Yutes, 27:19. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually another halacha here. This is actually another halacha that we're doing while we're at it. So let me just say that the Ikar halacha is that the Medrash says that when a child reaches bar mitzvah age, the father has to say a bracha.
Baruch
Shem Tzaraanim. Now there are poskim who say that it should be done by the mother also, and for girls also, because it's not with shem u'malchus. We're not saying brachot Hashem u'kenei
nachum,
because the Gemara doesn't mention it. All right, some have the minhag of saying it with shem u'malchus, but all right, but our shul is just baruch shavtani, because a girl also is chayav in mitzvahs
right.
At 12, and the mother is also chayav to teach her. So what is the message of the bracha? So that's a machlokus in the beforeshim.
I heard another twist.
Until the child is bar or bas mitzvah, no, how can anything bad happen to a child? Right? They're not responsible for mitzvahs. So.
Yeah, they respond.
Which direction does it go? Is it the child saying, "I'm no longer responsible for his and her averos," or the parent saying, "I'm no longer responsible for his or her averos"? So the Magen Avraham suggests that it's both, in which case, both the parent and the child should say the bracha.
That's true.
Just because the parent...
How can anything happen to a three-year-old?
But things do happen
to three-year-olds. Things do happen to seven-year-olds.
Right?
So the Gemara... look, this is surely the last thing a parent of a suffering seven-year-old wants to know, of course. So the parent should, according to the Magen Avraham, the child should say, "Oh, thank God I made it to bar mitzvah. I'm no longer responsible for his problems." So then the child should make the bracha. Right? The minhag of the parent making the bracha is saying,
seeing the other way,
is that I'm responsible, of course, for the child's minhag. So there's, I heard a twist to this, is that, of course, a 10-year-old who eats treif is not punished at all for doing that. A 10-year-old for violating it, it's not bar mitzvah. But a 10-year-old is responsible for one mitzvah in the Torah.
Keep it up.
A 10-year-old who is disrespectful to a parent is getting an avera.
Because they're capable of understanding.
Is it capable of understanding? Parental, and parents have to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them, just the respect.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Or teach them respect. Or be mochel on the respect. Say, okay, you're sitting in my seat, I'm okay with that. But with some things, parents should never be mochel on. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I hear over the phone, the way a child is talking to the phone, on the, mm-hmm. the parent on the phone. I say, and I'm thinking to myself, how do you allow your child to talk that way? Right? So, okay, anyway, so that's the second thing. We learn, it's no Gemara that says to say this bracha. That's why many shuls have the minhag of saying the bracha without shem u'malchus. Hello. That's why some shuls have the minute. Please have some breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Where's it come from again?
From this, from Vayigdilu Anirim, in the Medrash Rabbah, it says when the boys grew up, they were each one went a different direction. Now here's the I want to see one last halacha. When Yaakov, I'm sorry, I'm leaving shortly, but when Yaakov goes to convince his father that he's someone else, right? Mm-hmm. So let's read the pasuk. He says, "Vayomer Yaakov el Aviv." Right? When Yaakov walks in the door, his first word is "Avi," father. Now twins sound alike. And the father says, "Who are you, my son?" Now he has two sons. He sent one to get him food. One of them comes back and says, "Father." Why is he saying, "Who are you, my son?" He should go right to say, "Esav, how did you make it back so fast?"
Yeah.
Because he knows that he's back so fast, and he's not accusing anyone of anything. But he's saying, "Is this Esav with the food, in which case I'm very happy? Or is this Yaakov coming in to ask me a question?" Nothing wrong here. Right? Okay, so Yaakov, he had no practice runs on this. He's an Ishtam. He's wearing Esav's garments. He's smelling like Esav. He's trying to smell like Esav, taste like Esav. He's giving him food that Esav made, right? He's trying to sound like Esav. He's trying to feel like Esav. He's touching all of the senses, right? But he doesn't have to worry about looking like Esav because his father's blind, right? Right. So when his father says, "Who are you, my son?" No accusation. If Yaakov make it nervous, already he thinks I'm not Esav, right? I said one word, and already he thinks I'm Esav. I'm not Esav, right? So he's nervous, and when you're nervous, you speak a lot. So when you're trying to convince the officer why you made that illegal U-turn, and you start, someone's dying, and I have to get them there. So he answers, "Anochi Esav bechorecha." When he asks Esav, "Who are you?" He doesn't say this. He doesn't have. I don't have to convince anyone who I am. I am Esav, your firstborn. Asisi kasher dibarta elai. I did as you've said. Kumna shava b'achlamit seidi b'avor tivrachani nafshecha. Get up now. Kno here, according to Targum, means get up now. But Rashi says it means get up, please, and eat from my hunted meat,
well,
so that you can bless me.
More like Esav.
Now when Esav comes in. Right? Look at Esav's pasuk, Lamed Aleph. Vayomer la'aviv. He just walks in and doesn't say, "Father, here I am." He knows because he was sent to do this. Yaakov wasn't, but he was. Look at pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayomer la'aviv. Yokum aviv yochal mitzeit beno b'avur t'vruchani nafshecha. Right? And it says, let my father get it. He doesn't have to introduce himself. Now he's going to say, "What? What do you mean you're giving me food? I just ate food. Who are you? I didn't order this. I got what I ordered." So he says, the third halacha. And then we'll have to close with this.
He's
talking in third person. Rashi goes out of his way to show that Yaakov speaks with more respect and courtesy because he says the word please. But according to the halacha, Shach points this out, that it's actually Esav speaking with more respect, if not more courtesy, by saying, "Let my father get up and bless his son." Let him eat from the food his son brought him. That is in the Gemara. Oh, wait, that's okay. That is in the Gemara. That it is more respectful to speak in third person, and that you must in the presence of an honorable person.
Why is it respectful?
That's in almost every language. It's true. You
say neither one of them have a yetzer.
Okay, but it's when you've never heard that before. Is this the rabbi's opinion, or am I wrong in assessing the rabbi's opinion? When you say that. The queen is. That's how Esther talks to Ahasuerus. I wouldn't mention this if it was in any way. She's talking to her husband. She should say, "If this was harmful to you, I wouldn't mention." She says, "I wouldn't say this if this was harmful to the king." She knows what the way the king likes to hear, right? So it's actually Esav to speak, and we derive from here. The halacha derives from here that it is more respectful, because Esav is actually famous for Kibbutz Avraham.
Right, he wanted to kill Yaakov on the spot, but he said, I'll wait until my father's
something that Yosef's brothers did not share. Yosef's brothers brought home the
No, because the Lach means the same. Moshe to Hashem, not the opposite.
Right, right.
Hashem
so,
is the all-powerful.
He asked him 600 times, let me go and Eretz Israel.
But then Lach and Lacha in biblical Hebrew is interchangeable.
Lach.
Yes, yes. But here, let's review the three halachas we just learned. One is that when the Kohanim Duchen, they have to be in a good mood. We saw the two different opinions about why Yitzchak insisted on getting food before blessing. Two is that when a child reaches the age of mitzvahs, boy or a girl, then it's time for the parents and father and the mother to say this bracha, baruch shem tovim mem shoshoseh. And according to the Magen Avraham, the child should make the bracha as well. It should go in both directions. And three, a din of kavod is to speak in third person, and we derive it from this parsha.
Why does the child have to say it?
Because the child has the guilt of the parents on the child, according to one opinion, in addition to the guilt of the child on the parents. Okay.